Happy Sunday afternoon, everyone out there in a beautiful Delaware Valley. It is a gorgeous Sunday. A little chilly, but so what? It's beautiful. It's great to be alive. I am Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli's here producing the show. You'll hear from Tyler throughout the afternoon, too, as well. 610-632-0975. This is, it's almost time for my favorite time of the year. There's so many different periods of the year that you say, oh, this is my favorite time of the year. And I love the Thanksgiving through Christmas time. And there's so many different times where I go. But for selfish reasons, spring training is my favorite time of the year because my family and I go down to Florida and we spend a month there and I get to cover spring training and I get to spend some time with the family relaxing on the beach when I got some days off. And it's just absolutely my favorite time of the year. And the Phillies pitchers and catchers are getting ready to report. They'll report Tuesday. They'll have their first workout on Wednesday. Joe Girardi's going to have availability on Tuesday, actually. Then you got Matt Klintak lined up. He's going to be available. You're also going to have some availability with Andy McPhail. So we'll hear from everybody. We're not going to hear from John Middleton, I'm sure. Probably not, unless there's a reason to. But I wanted to do this today, because, and we will get into some 76ers conversation. D. Lineham and I had a lot of it yesterday afternoon from noon to 3, and Dee will be here leading us into Sixers Bulls, so she'll be picking up some more Sixers conversation. But I want to start off with baseball and also Sixers. But as far as the Phillies are concerned, I get an overwhelming sense of lack of optimism about this team. There's a lot of people who are, and rightfully so, you're down on what the Phillies did in the offseason, because after bringing in Joe Girardi and after signing Zach Wheeler and Didi Gregorius, there's a lot of people who say, well, they didn't upgrade the starting rotation beyond that. And they didn't do anything really for the bullpen except bring in pieces and guys who are on minor league deals that they hope that they can somehow be of help this year. And there's a lot of pessimism about this Phillies team. And I look at it like this. As much as I love spring training and I love baseball and I just absolutely love getting to the ballpark on a early morning in the spring. And it's not even spring, it's winter. It's still February, it's still March. And to smell that fresh-cut grass down there in Clearwater and to hear the sound of the ball popping in the catcher's mitt when the pitchers are warming up and you see the bullpen sessions and to hear the crack of the bat, it's still my favorite thing to do in life is to just take BP. Like I still love to just take BP and hit line drives in the gap, even though I try and hit balls over fences all the time and all that stuff. But I love hearing BP. I love watching BP. It makes me want to take BP. But I love all that. So as I'm thinking about this team, and I'm thinking about the negativity surrounding them and how different it is than last season, because last season, although they didn't sign Bryce Harper until the end of February, first week of March, and at this time last year, we were talking about, will they sign Bryce Harper? What can they do to make it happen? And all that stuff. And the optimism last year, there's a lot of people out there who want to wait and see what this team does. And you see what the defending World Series champion Washington Nationals have done. They've lost Anthony Rendon, but they're in the division. You got the Mets. You got the Braves. The Phillies are entering spring training right now as like the afterthought in the NL East. When you look at the prognosticators and you look at what everybody talks about, and nobody puts the Phillies in the conversation. They're not even part of it. And I want to talk about today reasons to be optimistic about the Phillies and the Sixers, because we beat up on the Sixers all week long. They were beat up, and rightfully so, with the four-game losing streak on the road. But let me start with the Phillies and my reasons for optimism. And I want to hear from you what makes you feel so down on this team, or if you're on board with me and you looking at it going into pitchers and catchers reporting that, yeah, maybe there is reason to be excited about baseball. And let's start with this. Y'all wanted Gabe Kapler gone. He's gone. So Joe Girardi is the manager, and you have to love the fact that Joe Girardi's the manager. You got a guy who is a proven winner, who has won almost every season of his managerial career. And he's won a World Series. He's been to the playoffs. He's done it in an incredibly huge market with the scrutiny. As tough it is here in Philly, he led the Yankees. He was the manager of the Yankees. Joe Girardi is not going to succumb to any pressure, scrutiny, intense criticism, none of that. He is the perfect fit for this job. But beyond Joe Girardi, who's number one reason to be optimistic, I look at number two reason. And for me, the number two reason is the pitching coach, Brian Price. And I touched on this a little bit yesterday. But when you look at a guy who has a track record of success, someone who can come in here and potentially unlock the potential that we keep waiting for, although they only added Zach Wheeler to the starting rotation, Wheeler and Nola as a 1-2, Nola, Wheeler, 1-2, however it goes, it's going to be Nola, obviously, to be the opening day starter, barring anything happening in spring training. You got a legit 1-2. If Arrieta at 34 years old can recapture anything, maybe finally healthy, I don't know. But then Velasquez, Pivetta, and Eflin, who we keep talking about, will they unlock the potential? Well, maybe Brian Price could be that guy. So now I got Girardi and Brian Price as two reasons to be optimistic. The coaching staff. It's a new coaching staff. Everybody, almost the majority of people wanted them gone. I didn't think it was Gabe's fault. But now that Joe Girardi's here, now that Brian Price is here, I look at those two guys and look at the positives that they can bring to the table. And now beyond that, another reason for optimism. I look at Bryce Harper. And in Bryce Harper, I see a guy who came in here last year late, didn't have a full spring training, had the enormity of a contract weighing on him early in the season, and still ended up slashing 260, 372, 510, 882 OPS, 35 homers, career high, 114 RBIs, played 157 games. We are entering Bryce Harper's prime year. He's 26 years old. Bryce Harper, to me, this year should be better than last year. You got Andrew McCutchen coming back healthy. You have the addition of Didi Gregorius, who's a guy who, on average, when he was going well for the Yankees, was about a 25 homer, 85 RBI guy on average for a 3-year period. Coming here could be that guy too as well. In the right scenario in the lineup, there's a lot of lineup flexibility. Now, I know everybody wants Chris Bryant, but I look at a guy like Scott Kingery, who only had 458 at-bats last year, and Scott Kingery had 19 homers. And we didn't expect him to be any kind of masher. But if a guy like Scott Kingery can hit 19 homers and 458 at-bats, projected to be a full-time starter, finally, 600-plus at-bats, we're talking about a guy who can give you 25. Now, Chris Bryant, other than his MVP year where he hit 39, and I know he was injured in 2018, he's been a 29-73, 13-52. That was the year he was hurt. Last year, 31 homers, 77 RBIs, 903 OPS. Yes, Chris Bryant would look great in this lineup. And you can move Scott Kingery to second base and then move on from Gene Segura. But then Gene Segura is a guy who was a 300 hitter for 3 years prior to coming here and still ended up at 280 last year. You got depth in the lineup if you got Segura and Scott Kingery hitting 7-8. You got JT Realmuto coming off his best offensive season, and he's a guy who's playing for that huge contract who may get it in spring training. I expect him to continue to get better. Rhys Hoskins is certainly better than a 226 hitter. So I look at the lineup and I go, there's reason for optimism there. So you get, I give you Girardi, I give you Brian Price, I give you the entire coaching staff, I give you Bryce Harper in a full seat with a full spring training, Zach Wheeler in the rotation, a lineup that looks deep. And while it's not like it's not the Braves going out and adding Marcell Ozuna, they also lost Josh Donaldson. I think this Phillies lineup can hit. And maybe they unlock some of the potential with the new hitting coach. So there's I look at reasons for optimism with this Phillies team, and I tell you that I think there should be some excitement going into spring training. So 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. How do you feel about my reasons for optimism? Why are you or are you not excited about the Phillies as pitchers and catchers report this week? And Jeff and Charles, hang on, I'll get to you in a second. And as far as the Sixers are concerned, my reasons for optimism with the Sixers are this. You got now what is going to be your team down the stretch. Trade deadline has passed. The trade deadline is come and gone, so there's no more moves that you can make other than signing anyone who's been bought out. They added Alec Burks. They added Glenn Robinson III, the little dog. And they give you some perimeter shooting and fill some voids that potentially can be a significant addition for this team. They are 23-2 at home, the best home record in the NBA. So you're talking about a team that no one wants to play here in Philly. Nobody wants to come into the center. They're 23-2. Now they got to figure out how to win on the road. And if you look at any first round series, whether it's Miami is a 4-5, whether it's Boston is a 3-6, I don't see them, envision them getting up to anywhere else. They're not going to get to a 2. They're 5 games out of the 3. Whatever the scenario is, if they hold home court and they're the best team at home, and they find a way to sneak one on the road, which they've done at the Garden against the Celtics already this year, and they came close and should have beat Miami earlier this season after the Milwaukee Christmas win, so it was early January, late December. With the two new players that they've just added, maybe this team can find its identity down the stretch. You got a coach in Brown who's coaching for his future, and he knows it. He said all things are on the table. So I look at a team like the Sixers and go, yeah, there's issues of dysfunction, or what it seems like dysfunction in a locker room, on the court at times. But when they put it all together, they can beat anybody. Can they beat them over the course of a 7-game series? We'll find out. So if they match up with Boston in the first round, and that's a team that they've handled 4 out of the last 5 times, 3 out of 4 this year, they can win that series. They can lose it, but they can win it. If they end up facing Milwaukee, whether it's second round or third round, we saw what they did against Milwaukee on Christmas Day. We also saw what they did the other day, Wednesday night, Thursday night. But if these guys play up to their potential, stay healthy, and figure it out, there's reason to be optimistic about the 76ers too as well. So I know there's oftentimes a lot of negativity when you turn on a radio, whatever it may be. And that's fine because it's warranted. It's certainly warranted at times when you got a team coming off a 30-point loss. Or when you see Mookie Betts get traded, even though that trade hasn't gone down and the Phillies aren't a player for it. And you get angry, you get upset, you get frustrated, you get disappointed. But I just want to take a step back from the initial reaction of disappointment and the initial reaction to be upset and angry and say there are actual reasons to be optimistic. And I want to hear from you. If you're excited as I am about spring training, or if you want to show me first, disappointed that John Middleton hasn't spent stupid money this offseason. All that stuff. 610-632-0975 is the number to get in. Tyler's taking your calls, and Jeff in Camden is going to lead it off. this afternoon. Hey, Jeff, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you, buddy?
I'm all right. So, I don't know, man. Anybody that's down on the Phillies and has it all figured out, like me, myself, right, I'm willing to go somewhere personally and go prove what I'm talking about to prove my merit, you know, besides running my mouth, because all that lip service that people do, it's what's talking good for anyway, unless you can prove what you're talking about and show some background with it. You know what I'm saying? You feel me on that, right, Mike?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
All right. So, like, I'm just saying, man, like, all right, Ben Simmons, right, he refuses to shoot that jump shot, right? And teams plan against it, and they can plan right while the game's going on because he just won't do it. That skill set's gone. I don't need that right now. I mean, maybe you bring him back if Brett Brown loves him and he's been around him since he's a baby and has to have him around. But right now I need a point guard that can come down and keep the defense of another team honest by being able to hit that shot. That's just what I need on the team right now.
But unfortunately, if that's how you feel about it, Jeff, there's nothing that they can do right now. Because right now, the trade deadline's passed. Any kind of major shakeup, if it's going to involve Ben or Joe, that's not going to happen until the offseason. And I think the first thing, Jeff, that they would do is try to get a new coach in here to see if he can change if the message and the voice changes, will the players change? I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, but it certainly is. It's not happening today, and it's not happening before this postseason.
Well, here's my suggestion. Sit Kangaroo Jack down with Kendall. Let them do what they do, and let basketball happen and progress on this Sixers team. That's my suggestion.
That's not going to happen, Jeff. They're not going to sit down, Ben. I mean, you're
11 points against the best team in the league.
You're also discounting everything else he brings to the table.
What, layups and dunks?
What? He's one of the top defenders in the NBA. And I appreciate the call, Jeff. Thank you, man. Like to just look at Ben Simmons and go, he's not giving you anything. It's completely disregarding all of the skills that he does bring to the table. Because this isn't, I know everybody gets fascinated with the shooting, and rightfully so. He doesn't shoot, he's unwilling to shoot, but to just say that Ben Simmons, because he's not shooting, you got to bench the guy? I mean, did you see when Joel Embiid was out, and he was taking over games? He didn't shoot then, he was dominating games. He scored in the 30s. He put up triple doubles. You can't just look at Ben Simmons and go, all right, I'm done with the guy. How about the game against, what did he do against the Lakers, just a month ago? 28 points, 12 of 15, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. The Nets game, 34, 12, and 12. Yeah, he only had 11 points against Milwaukee. He only shot 6 times. He also had Joel Embiid complaining about the number of, and not getting the ball, so he gave him the ball. It's the criticism of Ben Simmons, I think, goes a little too far. Yeah, everybody's frustrated that he doesn't shoot, and certainly needs to add that to his game. He certainly does. But man, he's 23 years old. He's now a 2-time All-Star, and there's a lot of positive value that he gives you. Charles in the Northeast, you're on The Fanatic. What's up, Charles?
How you doing, Rob?
How are you, my man?
Good, Rob. A couple points. I agree with you about the Phillies. The Phillies, I'll go further. Tell you they have the best lineup in this division. I'm going to tell you one of the best lineups, one of the top three lineups in baseball. That's a reason for optimism. How about adding Zach Wheeler, who could be a number one, along with Aaron Nolan? Now, yeah, there's questions about the bullpen. There's questions on 3 to 5 starters, but that's with a lot of teams, Rob. I expect this team to win high 80, low 90 games. And I think if things go well and they get more than, like you said, the pitching coach is a great reason for optimism, too. One of the best pitching coaches in baseball, along with, in my opinion, the best manager in baseball, Joe Girardi. And like you said, Bryce Harper has a whole spring training this time. I fully expect this team, the people picking this team to be fourth, no. This team's going to be contending for the division. Now, as for the Sixers, Rob, I agree with you on that, too. I expect this team to be playing in late May and early June. But because they're going to get better. And Embiid's going to get healthier. They're going to get better. I like the addition from Golden State. But, Rob, I heard it on the last show, and I keep hearing it. Can I ask fans and hosts to please stop assailing Embiid and Simmons's character. It's wrong. Every time the Sixers struggle, this is what I hear. All right, Brett Brown can't coach. He's terrible. Get rid of him. Okay. It's like the last caller, Ben Simmons. He doesn't shoot enough. He doesn't give you anything. You got to put Ben Simmons on the bench, which is ridiculous. And then you get the personal attacks on Ben Simmons. And then you get the personal attacks on Embiid. He's lazy. You know, he doesn't want to train. Number one, Embiid was out with a legitimate injury, number one. Number two, any player coming back who hasn't played in a couple weeks isn't going to look his best. So I think people have got to back off when it comes to Embiid and Simmons, Rob. It's wrong. And let me tell you, I got news for all of you. The Sixers will be playing. The season ain't over. They're going to be playing a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now. They're going to be playing in the June. So get behind these guys and stop assailing their character, because these guys are going to take us where we want to go.
Charles, well said. Appreciate the call, my man. Have a great Sunday. I asked for optimism. Charles is beyond. He's optimistic. He's extremely positive. Now, I think there's legitimate gripes. They're legitimate, valid frustration and gripes and complaints when it comes to Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. And he said he doesn't like to hear people taking shots at their character. And I agree with that. I don't think we should ever take shots at someone's character. We can criticize what they're doing on the court or off the court. And I've said it numerous times about Joel Embiid. It drives me crazy that he appears to be out of shape. Appears to be. He won't tell you that he is, but the way he plays sometimes, that bothers me. And when that's your profession, I want someone to be completely in shape. But all of that said, this is a team that came together 2 years ago after the additions at the deadline and the guys that they bought out and Ilyasova and Bellinelli, and they were able to win 16 in a row going into the postseason, into the playoffs. And last year they had some injury issues and the team changed over three times. You had the team with Rocco and Dario. Then you had the team without those two guys and with Jimmy Butler. And then you added Tobias Harris and Mike Scott and James Ennis. So you had three different teams and guys didn't play together, and they still got to the Eastern Conference semifinals, and it took a quadruple doink shot in Game 7 on the road to beat them. And Embiid was really a non-factor in at least one or two games and didn't play in another game. So the scenario that I laid forth was maybe you get the Celtics somehow and then you get Milwaukee, two teams, or you get the Celtics and then you get Toronto. Because if you're the 3-6, then you're going to play against the 2-7 rather than the 1-8. So if you're 4-5, you end up with Milwaukee. If they're 3-6, they'll have to go through Toronto. Well, you would have to go through Toronto if they got past Boston, knowing that with Kawhi last year and Danny Green on that team and Embiid not being at his best, it still went to a Game 7 quadruple doink. So they should be confident that they could win that. And we don't know what kind of confidence they gain over the next 20, 21 games to finish out this season. So while there are certainly numerous reasons to be disappointed and frustrated, I think there's a lot of reason to also look at it from, there's some optimism here surrounding both of these two teams. I'm excited to see what the new additions can do for the Sixers. I'm excited to see what maybe Brett Brown can do, knowing that his back's against the wall. He's coaching for his future, and he's going to have to do whatever it takes to win. And if that means putting Al Horford on the bench and bringing him in off the bench, maybe he does it. And with spring training a couple days away, I know the Phillies didn't get what everybody wanted them to do, a big, huge splash, but they made their splash last year. They brought in Bryce Harper last year and JT Realmuto, and they're getting McCutchen back healthy. And they did add Zach Wheeler and Didi Gregorius. And they got a manager who might be the most perfect fit for Philly that I have seen in a long time. And I think the addition of some of the coaches, including Brian Price, is going to help this team and maybe unlock some of that potential. So 610-632-0975 is the number to get in. I'm optimistic about the Phillies. I'm even optimistic about the Sixers. How you feeling about that? I'm Rob Motti, 97.5, The Fanatic.
97.5, The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, Rob Motti with you till 3 today. The line will be in at that time, leading you into 76ers at home against the Bulls. 610-632-0975. So I know there's a lot of people who are upset and disappointed with the Phillies. But this is a time of the year where you go into spring training. And for me, I look at the journey and how long it is. And I look at the length of a season. And there are different periods of, like, there's different chapters within each season. And reality kind of sets in for a lot of teams in May. And then you got the All-Star break, and then you got the trade deadline, and then you know who you are, and then you got September. But when you look at February and March, and you have spring training, and unless you have the Marlins, who you know have no shot, this is the time of year where you can look at your team and have reason for optimism. And when I look at it and it surrounds the Phillies, I think there's a lot of reasons for it. When you have a team that won 81 games last year, and how many of you out there say you blame the manager for 5 or 6 losses? Now, you would call for 2 years consistently and not want Gabe Kapler there. So let's just say you have 4 of the losses. You put it on Gabe, and you put it on his bullpen usage, and you put it on his lineups, and you put it on whatever you want to put it on. Never mind all the injuries. Never mind all that stuff. Let's just say it's 4. So if you add those 4, you're at 85. Now, if you're gonna say Gabe cost you 4 losses, I would think adding Joe Girardi, a manager who has won consistently throughout his career, he's got to be good for, let's just go real conservative, 2. So I got 4 and 2, I'm at 6. Give me 1 for Bryce Harper being a better player. He had a nice season last year. He's got a full spring training. Give me 1 more. Give me 1 more for Zach Wheeler. So now I'm at 8 and 81. I'm at 89. And now give me 1 for Didi Gregorius. Just 1. Now we're at 90. Now, do I think this is a 90-win team? I'm not sure. I think they're somewhere between an 85, 86, and a 90 to 92-win team. And time will tell. We'll see about the injuries. You can add Andrew McCutchen into that and say a healthy Andrew McCutchen at the time, top of that lineup, should be good for perhaps half a win. Tyler, I came in here and I told you I was going to talk about optimism with this Phillies team, and you were entirely down. So explain to me why you're completely down on this team, and let me know if what I've said has swayed you even a little bit.
So I think the one thing that you did add that I think will give me some optimism is, you know, when you go and look at those adding wins, you're adding wins from Zach Wheeler and all that good stuff. Zach Wheeler's career WAR is 10.2 over the course of his career. He had a 3.4 or 3.5 last season, which is, you know, pretty serviceable considering I would imagine, without looking at it off the top of my head, that Pivetta, Velasquez, and probably Eflin were all negative WARs last season. The one thing that does concern me is if you go to the free agent pool of players that have been signed so far, if you look at the top 5, well, actually the top 6, but more importantly the top 5 relief pitchers that have been signed this offseason, 5 of them are direct competition to the Phillies in terms of getting to the playoffs. The Braves, the Nationals have two, the Mets have one, and the Dodgers have one. And the sixth player, Craig Stammen, stayed with San Diego, who people believe could be a good team this year. That's six straight relief pitchers that I look at, and I know that's just in terms of top money. Money doesn't always equate, but that's six relief pitchers that I look at and say they could have helped the Phillies, and no moves were made.
To me, that is the biggest area of disappointment, is the bullpen. And really the lack of, when you look at Will Smith going to, and let's not forget Cole Hamels also went to Atlanta. And you know what, one of the under the radar moves they made that I think Travis d'Arnaud going there, I think is going to also help Atlanta. And Marcelo Zuna, of course, they did lose Keuchel. They did lose Josh Donaldson. They let Julio Teheran go and Brian McCann. But yeah, when you look at the bullpen, you look at Will Smith going there, you look at Betances going to the Mets. You look at what the Nationals did. They brought in Will Harris. Yeah, that to me is the biggest area of concern, is the bullpen, because now you're counting on Seranthony to come back healthy. You're hopeful that Hector, who although he gives up, see, the knock against Hector for me is he's a decent closer, but he gives up too many home runs. And he gives them up in clutch situations, and that scares me. And you look at those additions, that is the biggest area of concern. So what you're going to need is somebody on this Phillies, on this staff, in that bullpen, among this relief corps, whether it's Francisco Liriano, who signed to a minor league deal, coming in and being being J.C. Romero of the 2008 team. Adam Morgan getting better. Maybe whoever doesn't win, Pivetta or Vince Velasquez, that fifth spot in the rotation, can go to the bullpen and unlock their potential there. So there's a lot of question marks in the Phillies bullpen, whereas with the other teams, as you pointed out, Tyler, there's more certainty in the bullpen. Now, it doesn't mean those guys aren't going to get hurt. We don't know what's going to happen. I think to count on Seranthony coming back, to me, is foolish, because here's a guy who, anytime I see the elbow issue that he had, I kind of feel like he is going to be, at some point, having to undergo Tommy John. So, yeah, I agree with you that bullpen is an area of concern, but I'm hopeful that Brian Price can help some of these guys, unlock some of their potential, maybe some of the additions that the Phillies made. And they brought in different guys on minor league deals that they're hopeful, whether Bud Norris or Drew Storen or a guy like Anthony Swarzak or a Trevor Kelly, like one of these guys, they're hopeful can go back to recapture some of the success that they had previously. And now I see Tommy Hunter coming back in on what's going to most likely be a minor league deal. So that's a legitimate, a very valid concern. Yet I look at the offense and the potential that the lineup has, and I look at the starting rotation, and I'm hopeful that Price can get something out of these other guys. So you got Pivetta at minus six, Velasquez at a .7 war last season. Good work. And yeah, Zach Wheeler to me is an upgrade. He's absolutely an upgrade at the top. You know, I'm hopeful that a guy like Jake Arrieta can come back, and I'm not asking him to be Justin Verlander at the tail end of his career, but I'm asking him to be serviceable as a starting pitcher. So 610-632-0975. I'm looking at reasons to be optimistic about the Phillies. I've laid them out for you, from the manager to the pitching coach, to a full spring training for Bryce Harper, to guys coming back healthy. Tell me why you're so down on this team at a period when we're going into spring training, where, you know, all this is the time for hope and optimism. And I'm letting that carry over into my Sixers conversation, because we've beat up on them for so much this week. And deservedly so, but I look at a team now and I go, this is who they have going down the stretch. Could they figure it out? Could this team put it together? We know that they are so good at home. incredible at home. 23-2 at home. Almost unbeatable at home. Nobody wants to play them here. So we're talking about winning a game on the road. Each playoff series and holding court at home. 610-632-0975. Anthony, hang on. I'll get to you next. You could join a conversation after him. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic. Welcome back to the Rob Motti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Trying to have a lot of baseball conversation, mix in some Sixers conversation today as we get closer to spring training. Just a couple days away, pitchers and catchers report for my absolute favorite time of the year. I got so many different favorite times of the year. This is my absolute favorite time of the year. If you haven't been in Florida during spring training and you have an opportunity to go down, you really ought to do it. It's just an awesome time. It's a beautiful place. It's just the calmness, the relaxation. I come back refreshed, and it gets hectic when your spring training days are actually sometimes longer than regular season days because they start so early, 8 a.m. in the morning, and then they got a game, and then it can last. But whatever the scenario is, it's still you're in beautiful weather for the most part, and there's still that early season optimism before reality sets in. And when I'm talking about and I laid out the scenarios for you today, I think there's legitimate reason to look at this Phillies team and rather than just write them off and go, oh, they're done. I know you need them to prove it to you. But I feel with Joe Girardi, Brian Price additions that they're going to help this team. Gregorius and Wheeler should help this team. Some guys getting better, guys like McCutchen coming back, a guy like Bryce Harper with a foot. I don't think we've seen the best of Bryce yet. I think Bryce can take it to another level. Anthony and Philly, you're on the Fanatic. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How are you, bud?
I'm doing all right. I think the Phillies are going to do really great this year, and they're going to surprise a lot of people.
I think they will be a surprise. Why do you feel that way, though?
As you pointed out, Bryce Harper having a full spring training, all the new guys we're bringing in, and Joe Girardi always comes down to the manager, how they're going to manage the game, and he has a ton of experience in the playoffs, and Gabe Kapler really didn't. He really didn't have the same experience that Girardi has.
Yeah, and Gabe Kapler, and as much as I liked Gabe Kapler, he was learning to manage on the job. It was on the job training. With Joe Girardi, this isn't his first rodeo. Joe Girardi's been there, done that, and he did it in New York in that scrutiny in the Bronx. Man, there's no pressure that's going to get to Joe. He's not learning on the job. He knows what it takes to win, and I really feel like there's a significant addition in there. Now, as far as your optimism, will that translate into going to the ballpark, or are you going to have a wait-and-see approach?
Oh, no, I'm going opening day.
Are you really?
Opening day.
You got those tickets ready?
Yes, sir.
I like
one more,
the...
One more thing. We
go
need
ahead.
A third baseman. Those two guys that we have, the prospects.
Yeah, Alec Bohm.
Yeah, and Spencer Howard. I think they need to do something to either bring in Arenado or Chris Bryant.
I'll tell you what, I obviously you would have to move Alec Bohm to get in Chris Bryant or Arenado, and I'd do that for sure.
If you want to win now, why not?
Yeah, I would, and that would be putting your money where your mouth is. When you talk about spending stupid money, well, you go out there and spend that money on Bryant. I think Bryant or Arenado, you're probably going to have to part with both of those guys. Spencer Howard and Alec Bohm, and unless you do that, you may not be able to make that deal happen. But even if they don't do that, Anthony, I still look at this team and this lineup, and I go, this is a deep lineup. When you got a guy like Segura Kingery batting down on 7-8 spot, they got legitimate potential to score some runs.
That's dangerous. They'll drive in a ton of runs this year.
Yep. All right, man. Appreciate the call.
Have a good one.
You too. M in the Northeast. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, M? How are you, bud?
Hey, man. Rob, it's always a great day when I get to talk to you. And tell you that you brought up spring training. My retirement gift when I retired from the school where I was headmaster was a first-class all-expenses-paid trip to spring training 2 years ago.
Oh, beautiful.
Because I know how much I like baseball, and the president of the board also knew how much I like baseball. But the reason I called was twofold. I'll ask you a question. You can answer, you know, after I get off. The first one is, I share your optimism with the 76ers. And my question will be, does Brown know he's actually coaching to save his job? Because I think that's a very important point.
Good question.
And you just agreed with everything that I was going to say, and that is with the Phillies, and that is, I'll be down there. They have these plans where you buy tickets for like $60 for the month of April. And we did that last year. We did that for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do the same thing again this year, because not only do I like baseball, but I'm also a Phillies fan. But you brought up the third baseman from the Cubs. And for my mind, they have to get that done to satisfy me. I'm really serious about that they need to do that. Because I only hold people to the words they say, and you used it, stupid money.
Yeah.
What they said they were going to do, you got us all worked up, now go do it. I get the Bryce Harper, I get all of that, but that was the first piece. And apparently, this guy is best friends with Bryce Harper.
Yeah, they're
Why
close.
Wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, they're close. And I love Chris Bryant. I would like him in the lineup. I still say, even without him, my hope for Scott Kingery, and I don't know what Alec Boehm can do. I can't tell you. He's a top prospect, but I don't know. That's why I would move Boehm to get Bryant, because in a best-case scenario, he's going to give you what Bryant is already going to give you. So I don't have any expectation that Alec Boehm is going to be better than Chris Bryant. So I would certainly do that. I do think Scott Kingery can take his game up to, if he settles in at one position, and he could be a guy who I think can take his game up even to another level. He had a very nice season last year. I feel like this lineup is still strong and deep without Chris Bryant, but with Chris Bryant, that can help overcome some of the deficiencies that I see in the bullpen and the back end of the starting rotation.
And I also think that the coaching staff is the biggest plus in the offseason, and I think that will also hopefully bring back the first baseman to where he was, that we believe that he can do. And as always, Rob, thank you for taking my call. Thank you for treating the callers with respect. Have a great day. God bless.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate
that.
For me.
Thank you. You got it. And M's question, and first off, I will say I completely wholeheartedly think that Joe Girardi, Brian Price, and the addition of this coaching staff is going to be translated into a few victories for this team. If we were going to blame, and I'll put myself in there, I wasn't I was a Gabe Kapler supporter to the end, and I wasn't on the fire Gabe bandwagon all throughout his tenure, but I will say he was learning on the job, and there were mistakes that he made different points of the season, and if he cost you some wins, I think Girardi and Price will be translated into victories for you. As far as what M asked about Brett Brown is a very valid question. And I had said earlier that he's coaching for his job. And if he's coaching for his job and he knows that, then he may be willing to do things, maybe not necessarily outside the box, but put some of the players' egos aside and do what's best for the basketball team. Because I think Brett Brown is a player's coach, and I think he's a guy who is very cognizant of today's player. And he's very aware of how to handle today's player. And he's very careful not to upset, bother, annoy, aggravate, irritate any of the young stars on this team to maybe a fault, in that he has a double standard, which it appears is troublesome for some of the guys who've come in. And that's what Al Horford may have been alluding to, some locker room issues. But to answer M's question about, does Brett Brown know that he's coaching for his job? I think he does. When he said the other day that all things are on the table, I think he realizes that this was a season filled with high expectations. And right now, they wanted that one seed. They're not going to get anywhere near that one seed. They wanted to be home court throughout, and they are 13 and a half games behind Milwaukee. they're a 5 or a 6 seed with difficulty getting to a 4. So going into the playoffs, this is going to be a team that's not even as good or as well positioned as they were the last 2 years, because they were 3 seeds 2 years in a row. So I think for sure he knows that he's coaching for his job. And if he's not looking at it like that, I think that's a lack of self-awareness of the situation. So I would hope, and I feel like he does know that he's coaching for his job. And I'm looking forward to getting down there on Tuesday before the game. And I don't get to cover the Sixers as much because of the Eagles and the Phillies, but I'll be there before the Tuesday game against the Clippers, try to get a better feel for it. But I do feel that he understands that this is it. This is make or break. You got to do whatever it takes to put the best product on the court, even if that means putting egos aside for your players and having to make some uncomfortable decisions in that locker room. 610-632-0975 is the number to get in. I'm optimistic about the Phillies as we head into spring training, and I'm looking for reasons to be optimistic about the 76ers, because we all know we beat them up, and they deserve it at times, and they've deserved it all week, but I'm looking at reasons to be optimistic. 610-632-0975. We got some open lines to join the conversation. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, this is Ben Simmons, and you listen to the Rob Motti Show.